D-Dog's award-winning barbecue rubs put the perfect balance of spicy and sweet on your ribs, chicken, all beef and pork, and more. Whether it's slow-cooked barbecue, or grilled steaks and burgers, or soups, vegetables, or anything else from your kitchen, D-Dog's award-winning rubs make good food great. Four flavors: original, maple, apple, and peach, each made from the freshest all-natural ingredients. Order yours today at www.ddogsbbq.com. That's DDOGSBBQ.com. D-Dog's Barbecue Rubs. It's better than ketchup.
This is Maddie Rempe from Cleveland, Ohio. And you're listening to Barbecue Central.
Coming up next on the Barbecue Central Show.
I come to your place for a barbecue. I love it. I can chat your wife up. I can drink your beer. And you're sat there with your eyes streaming while you've got smoke in them and you're flicking bits of meat about. You know, come around to my place. My barbecue lid's closed. You chat my wife up. I'll punch you on the nose, you know?
Right.
And I'm drinking my own beer, you know? Right. Well, you get the message immediately. Hey, Rick, you've got a point there, you know?
Welcome to Barbecue Central, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. From big-named interviews to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here inside Barbecue Central. If you're interested in learning more about barbecue, feel free to visit our website at www.bbq-4-the-letter-u.com. Get connected to the best barbecue forum on the internet. And now, here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Thank you, Jim Morgan, and welcome to Barbecue Central, the show where we talk about all things important in the world of barbecue. Wherever you are across the globe, I certainly appreciate you taking time out to join me. Today, we're taking the Barbecue Central Show international to jump across the pond. In just a few minutes, I'll be talking with Rick and Jackie Wade, the owners of the American Barbecue Company in Kent. They're the sole distributors of the Cook Shack, Fast Eddie, and Traeger line smokers in the UK and all of Europe. So they are single-handedly spreading the good word about American-style barbecue in a different country. They're also known for being the driving force behind the rule changes that took place at the Jack Daniel's competition. In 2004, Rick and Jackie swept the competition stage, taking both the championship in the international division and then taking the overall championship to finish off the evening. First time in history that a non-American team has won the Jack, and did the controversy ensue after that? We'll be sure to talk about that, as well as how barbecue is viewed in a different country. So let's bring them in and get on with the Q-Talk. Rick and Jackie, welcome to Barbecue Central.
Hi, well, thanks very much for inviting us along.
Hi.
Rick and Jack, if you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself kind of individually first, and then when you guys met, and bring us up to current day.
That far back?
If you can remember.
God, we met 25 years ago, I think. I actually went to work for him. Couldn't stand him, couldn't stand the sight of him. And after about 2 years, started talking to him, and then about a few more years later on, we kind of got together. And that's a real brief potted history about us. That's all you want to know.
Yeah, I was looking for something like Natalie Wood, personified, you know, sort of thing you do in those days. And I got Jackie. But, you know, it took me about 3 years to get round to understanding the difference, you know, but never mind. Can't be too serious in this world.
So as you guys get together, then... What are you guys doing as far as, you know, jobs and personal life and all that stuff?
Well, we worked in the city of London at the time in finance. We're both basic computer people. So I was an IT director, Jackie was an IT manager, and we worked together first in London Transport, which probably recognised by its red buses and its tube system, but it's the largest urban transit authority in the world. Then we worked for a couple of American companies, Security Pacific, which was a West Coast bank at the time, taken over by Bank of America recently. And we also worked for Citibank. So we were quite used to dealing with American organizations.
And then we got sick of working together, and I went one way and he went the other.
That's the truth.
I went and worked for English companies, and he went and found Japanese companies and more American companies.
She just wouldn't do as she was told anymore. You know what women get like after a while,
yeah? Get stroppy.
It's something like that, anyway. Jackie decided she had had enough. I was meant to come home and retire and run the farm. We were running quite a few head of cattle at the time. And Jackie managed to somehow hoodwink me. She ended up running the farm. And we had about just under 300 head of pedigree Limousin cattle.
He's only bitter because I beat him to it. But the truth of the matter is, I freelanced for a long time. And I decided to take a couple of months off over Christmas one year. And just during those couple of months, foot and mouth happened in the UK. And it was pretty bad. So we had to get rid of the farm worker who, you know, was on other farms as well. And I ran the farm on my own from then on. And I kind of forgot to go back and find a job in London after that for some reason. I don't know why. So I stayed and worked with the that sweet-smelling fragrance that comes from the back of a bull in the real sense of the word, as opposed to the stuff I used to get in the city.
So we were running the cows, and then we decided to diversify slightly. So we got into the food business. So we started trying to add value to the food products we were doing. We had some pigs at the time, cows, you know. And we got into smoking meats and curing meats, curing bacon, things like that, for farmers' markets. Over here in the UK, it's quite a big thing to get food that's not commercialised, if you like. And people want to know where its heritage, where it came from, how it was produced, what ingredients go into it.
Mm-hmm. They don't
want to
know the name of the animal, funnily enough.
No.
Just what's in it.
Yeah, just what's in it. So we got into that, and gradually we got interest in food. We both love food. We're both good cooks. We enjoyed that. And then gradually, you know, with the smoked food and everything else going on, I started to read a lot about American barbecue and the heritage of American barbecue. And it seemed really good, you know, so we got interested. And I suppose that was our big entry to it.
We got interested.
Well, I got interested.
Quite interesting that you say that, because it leads on to a rather mute point, really. I was having a certain birthday. It was the big 40. He couldn't work out what to give me for my birthday. He went through it in his own mind, and he asked me a couple of times, and I just innocently said, I don't mind. And next thing I know is he's organised a cookery course and barbecue school in Lynchburg, Tennessee, with Dr. Barbecue himself, Ray Lampe. To say I was thrilled...
you're quite a romantic.
Hey, but when you get a girl who's got everything, including me, come on.
Especially you.
And you know you're going to get it in the neck for whatever you do. So I just thought, the heck with it. I'll get it in the neck. I'll go and enjoy what I really enjoy, you know?
And it basically meant that I enjoyed the whole of my birthday, all 24 hours of it, because we were cooking all night.
Right.
I didn't actually tell anyone it was my birthday until the following day, and then celebration started.
For the listenership, this is the first time, you know, I guess the Barbecue Central show has actually gone international. Can you give us a general idea of... I guess at least here in the States, a lot of the time grilling and barbecue are thrown around synonymously, and obviously to us, you know, more in the subculture, we know that there's a big difference between the two. Is that the same thing over at the UK, or how is barbecue viewed over there?
No. We put a couple of guys on a few rowing boats going sort of west across the Atlantic a few years back, and those guys have been used to burning meat over a flame. And that's where I think you guys sort of got, you know, some of those guys came over and joined you. Yeah, and over here we call that barbecue. I think you call it either burning food or probably more closer to it, grilling.
Or poison.
We like it black on the outside, red on the inside, and as long as you have 3 days on the lure afterwards, you're okay, you know? And that about sums up barbecue in the UK. Most of our barbecue is much more akin to Australian or South African barbecue, which is grilling, you know, very tender cuts of meat, high flame, very quickly cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And also barbecue, the word here means al fresco eating. It means eating outside. We're trying to teach people in Britain that these Americans, you know, they're a bit strange people over that side of the pond, but they've got something right. They organize barbecue next week. They book a week in ahead, and they cook this food, and then they look at the sun and see whether it's in or out, and they decide where to eat. That's a strange phenomenon for Brits to think about, you know?
It's veritable genius.
Yeah, but the Brits can't accept it from the country that threw tea in the ocean.
How classless.
Yeah. Eat beans and throw tea in the ocean? What the heck's up with you guys? American barbecue is almost a new concept, except we've always smoked food over here. So if you talk about smoking food, typically in Britain, the food is over-smoked and it is done purely in oak. We tend to have no different flavours of wood. I mean, we've got different woods, obviously, but people don't use them, they just use oak. And the people we've taught to do American barbecue think it's fantastic. They really rave about it. In fact, we had a pub.
One of our local pubs bought a machine about a month, well, in fact, 2 weeks ago. He phoned me tonight and said, I'm going to need some more pellets. But this machine is fantastic. And he's telling me what he did. And the latest thing that his chef has done is somebody had been out and shot a load of rabbits. And they wrapped the rabbits in bacon. They cooked them on the Traeger. They stripped the meat off. They mixed the meat with the bacon and a white sauce. And they made rabbit pie. And apparently it just was a real hit in the pub. And everyone loved it and took extra home. And
it does go down.
See the strange things over here. You have roadkill. We kill bunnies.
All thanks to the cooker, yeah. Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a piece of brisket over here, we would just grind it up, put it through a mincer, and maybe make a sausage out of it. And the idea of cooking a brisket until it's melt in the mouth tender, and it's got flavour, and it's really beautiful, that's just a strange concept.
We might do it in a pot roast or something, but not on a barbecue.
Not on a barbecue, for God's sake, no. I mean, Christ, it'd be pouring down with rain by the time you got anywhere. The kids would have gone to bed, and the wife's left you.
Now, you can get the same cuts of meat over in the UK that we get here in the States to barbecue with?
They are slightly different. We tend to have fatter pigs than you do. The meat is also a bit different. And the one thing, I think the biggest ingredient that's different is the wood. You can't import wood around the world unless it's been gassed and treated because of also the bugs and all the rubbish that goes in it. So the one thing that Jackie and I decided on ages ago, we looked at American technology. We looked at pellets and we thought, well, that's the way to go because pellets are sterile. They've been steam treated, so therefore you can import them very easily through countries. Well, we decided to concentrate on pellet smoking. That was our big thing. So we're pellet heads and we're absolutely sold on pellets. So that's our way of thinking.
But going back to your question of the meat, which you skirted on ever so slightly, we have real trouble finding the size briskets you guys have out there. Until recently, we had a 30-month kill rule, which meant all beef had to be killed by the time it reached 30 months, and on average was killed at about 2 years old, which meant that the briskets really weren't very well developed, so there tends to be thin, scraggy lumps of meat. So when we came over to the States for the first time and saw the size of your briskets, we thought, what the
hell
did that come off? We wanted to meet the cow it came from. And we don't have things like pork butt over here. We call it pork shoulder, where, you know, the butt is what you sit on and the shoulder is not there. We have to translate, you know, pork butts to people and the different cuts of meat, but we've gradually found that the more modern butchers over here can manage the cuts that we want.
So your interest was sparked in barbecue by just reading through some magazines or through some literature initially?
It was a bit all over. KCBS, followed them quite a lot, read a lot on the internet. So computing's our background. Smoked food's our sort of home product. I mean, Jackie's won several awards in the UK for our food. Stuff we were producing for the farmers' markets. We have what they call the Good Food Taste Awards of Britain. And Jackie's won several golds and silvers on that, and a few bronzes. We didn't do quite so well.
Better than nothing. But no, we actually got a gold award on our pulled pork, which we had to enter it in a smoked foods category, and it went into the category of other smoked food, which was quite a difficult one to try and explain to the Brits what this was. But I entered pulled pork and I entered sliced brisket, and I got a gold on the pork and a silver on the brisket, so something they've never tasted before, it did pretty well.
The one thing about American barbecue scene is it's very family and friend oriented, and everyone just goes for the heck, you know, just what a crazy do. And to us that's fabulous. We love that scene. And the first time we ever went to one, we just couldn't believe it. So many people just having a great time and all cooking and just sharing their knowledge. Nobody hangs back, you know, they just get in, share their knowledge, and they're really friendly.
And the one thing you've got to say is if this podcast goes out before Rocket City Barbecue Competition, don't worry, everyone, because I haven't cooked for over a year now. Yeah. And I'm going to be so rusty.
Mind you, the last time we came over was just over a year ago. We went down to...
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. About 18 months ago. We went down to Wichita. And we were expecting to see some guy like Wyatt Earp come riding past. You know, strange place.
Yeah, where was the Wichita line then?
Yeah, I mean, we were looking for all these things, you know. And they've got some bloody great aircraft factory there. Strange place. But anyway, we went down to Wichita and some of our... Well...
Arch rivals.
Yes.
These are the big...
Johnny Trigg,
hey, twice winner of the Jack, Rodney, and the whole ready bunch turned up. There's only six teams cooking. You know, we thought, Wichita, there's no one going to know us here.
It was more than six. No. There were 20.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
There was nobody there, hardly, but there we were. And
We don't argue a lot, by the way.
Are you guys married?
We're really, really, really pleased. And Johnny Trigg, close your ears, we beat Johnny Trigg and chicken. It didn't matter what else we did. We beat Johnny Trigg overall.
He came one behind us.
Yeah. That really pleased us. But it was really great fun. I mean, Wichita was so really small, friendly. What a great time. I mean, to us, that's what America's about.
Mm.
It's for us, it's a great holiday. And it's just fun meeting people and just meeting great people. We've had such a lovely time over there.
Now, the 2003 Jack, was that the class you were taking with Dr. Barbecue, and then you also competed?
That's right. We took the class in May in 2003.
Okay, and then you came back to compete?
And then we came back and competed. Ray Lampe just sort of called us out of the blue and said, you're not bad at this, you know. Why don't you see if you can get an entry into the Jack as an international team?
And this is your first competition?
Yeah.
Yep, first ever.
What's
jump right up to the top, why don't you?
What's the Jack? You mean Jack Daniels? Yeah, we drink that. Overall, I mean, I suppose we were a bit put down because we only came 36th.
No, 34th.
Was it 34th? Oh, okay. 34th. Well, I'll put myself down even harder.
End up finishing about midway through the pack. It's not bad on your first on your first time
well,
in.
And when we got back home, we sat and we thought, well, that wasn't too clever. And then we thought about it and we thought, heck. They're some of America's best teams, and we didn't do that bad. We should take this serious. And decided, right, we'll start getting a cooker. So we got hold of a Fast Eddie.
We shipped that over. FE100
over here. FE100. So. We started cooking on that. We cooked all year. And then when we came back to the Jack the following year, we were relatively confident that we could hold our own. We could probably do better than we did the previous year.
We just hoped we'd get our name called this time.
Yeah. And we were really, we intended to go for it. And then we got hold of Fast Eddie, or in fact we got hold of Cook Shack, and said, any chance of borrowing a rig? Because one of our problems is we fly in, we just have to accept what's there on the ground. Blind Dog's machine is different to everything else, and we were cooking on a 100, so we phoned up and said, can we have an FE100 to cook on?
Because we were their UK distributors, or we are their UK distributors
now. Yeah,
then.
We weren't. Well, we just
we
became
just
then,
become
yeah.
Them.
And so they said, well, we can lend you a machine. Fast Eddie will bring one down for you. So the next thing, this bloody great rig turned up. I talk about embarrassing. It's the biggest thing I've ever laid my eyes on. I mean, over here, we cut it in two and call it two lorries. You call it one truck.
We'd never even met Fast Eddie at that stage. We didn't know what he looked like. We'd looked him up on the internet and just done some background research on who is this lunatic that's going to drive all that way just to lend us a cooker. and he turned up to be a really nice guy.
It's the same guy that used to get on a plane to go compete where the money was good and he didn't even care what he cooked on.
Yeah. That's him.
And he still's not out of NASCAR because what he did for most of the time he was there, he just sat with a bottle of Gentleman Jack watching NASCAR racing.
And listening. But he
just sat there just swilling away.
Are the international teams automatically entered into the overall competition, or is it separate? There is an international division, and then there's everybody
there
else.
The rules all changed.
In the first 2 years we competed at the Jack, there was an international competition, but the international teams would also be entered into the domestic US competition. So they had a chance of winning the overall championship, but because the Americans basically said no international team is ever going to win the Jack. Let's give them their own division.
So at least they could win
a trophy and they'd be an international champion. And that's what they always did. And then, of course, we went and ruined that. And then as soon as we bought it for the international teams, they took that international division away. So now the international teams compete as part of the main body of contestants, and that's that.
Now, prior to you guys winning in 2004, there was, I don't even want to, if you would call them like American barbecue mentors that would actually be on site with you guys?
Yeah, that's right.
And you ruined all that, of course.
We did, yeah.
Well, to a degree. I don't know quite what happened. I mean, it got a bit silly. We watched it on the internet, and we stepped out of it because we thought we'll add no value to getting involved here. And the best thing to do was just let it all roll because there's quite a lot going on the internet.
Now, I hate to interrupt here, but if in case everybody isn't up to speed on what happened then, can you give us just kind of a brief breakdown on exactly what transpired?
Yeah.
What did transpire? I mean, we looked, when we got home, we looked at some of the forums, and there were quite a few people on the forums having a discussion on whether we had actually cooked at the Jack Daniels or whether Fast Eddie had cooked on our behalf.
Which was a bloody cheat, considering Eddie has never won the Jack and hadn't been cooking for years. But that's by the way.
It's flattering for Ed. Come on. Oh, hang on.
I think the key piece is there was quite a lot of interaction on the internet, because obviously we were watching, having been absolutely thrilled. I mean, we were amazed. We were so thrilled where we got to. When we won the international division, Jackie and I were around the back drinking lemonade, as one does, because being a, you know, a dry county, and celebrating with our friends. And this woman came out and said, hey, you've just been called. And we said, yeah, we know, we just got the international. And she said, no, you've just won the Jack.
You've been called three times, Mad Cow's Barbecue, you've just won the Jack. And we said, don't be
what?
Silly.
You know, don't be dull. So we went back in and we were absolutely over the moon. And you can't believe. And I remember one stupid point, a camera being pushed in my face along with a microphone, and the guy saying to me, well, how long have you guys been barbecuing, American barbecue? And I said, well, very honestly and very stupidly, I said, about 18 months. The guy looked at me like I'm a Martian. But truthfully, when we went off, we went up actually to a national park for a few days to have a relax. And when we came back and we started seeing the internet, we thought, oh, heck, you know, this is a bit ridiculous.
Because
people claiming that, you know, Fast Eddie had cooked for us, etc., and, or, you know, words to the effect of. And we just thought, that's a bit unreasonable, a bit unfair, because anybody who knows us knows we can cook. And really, how have they come to that conclusion? And what is it that's made this point? So,
and the only thing they did that helped to help us at any stage was to show us how to open the cooker, how to use the cooker.
We'd never seen one before.
You know, because we'd never seen an FEC 750 before.
But that was quite normal, actually, for the international teams.
In fact,
the person,
the year before, Blind Dog helped us far more. Blind Dog and his friend Carl, when they were our ambassadors, they gave us tons of help.
You didn't win that year, though.
No, we only came middle.
But I do think the point is that Ed didn't do the cooking. There's no question about it. We did, and it sounds quite fairly. And I would stand up in any, you know, court and say that. It's absolutely true that we did the cooking, nobody else. So you can't say any more than that. However, what we've done since, we've come over and cooked. Wichita was the example, and we did quite well, you know, against some pretty good class guys. Yeah. It was interesting listening to Fast Eddie on your podcast the other day. Jackie and I were listening, and Fast Eddie was saying that now a lot more salt goes into the meat than used to in the past. And I think this is one of the directions that competition cooking versus home cooking is going, even in America.
Yeah. The question was, do you inject or don't you inject your pork?
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah, I was going to ask you guys that too.
I don't inject, I pump the bugger.
When we're cooking in America,
I've got a huge pump in there.
we wouldn't pump it in the UK.
I'd never do it at home. Absolutely never. Our pork butts in the UK they've got much more fat in them, and therefore you get that natural succulence. We tend to use rare breed pigs. We kept some Berkshire pigs and we've kept Saddleback pigs, and Berkshires are probably the best.
Yeah.
Or Berkshires, as you call them.
Berkshires, as you call them. Yeah.
We find that, you know, that sort of pork doesn't need injecting of any description.
So you guys are both members of the KCBS.
Yes.
Yep. Well, we will be when we pay our dues. slightly
outstanding. Can you take that piece out? And we'll get the check in the post, you know?
Members on hold.
Morning, Caroline. Yeah, sorry.
Caroline.
Yeah, the post isn't working very well.
Because you're coming over here to compete, are there barbecue competitions over there in the UK that you can compete in and keep practice on?
Not American barbecue competitions, and that's why we've stayed a bit shy of them over here. The international barbecue is about grilling. And in Germany, Switzerland, which a lot of the guys from the States have come over and competed in, it's not American barbecue. It is about, not KCBS barbecue, should I say. It's about style and dishes cooked on a grill. We made a decision ages ago that, you know, when we did the cooking with Ray Lampy, we thought, this is great. This is American barbecue. We'll take the KCBS ruling, and that's what we will stick by, and we'll cook on KCBS rules.
You guys are also the owners of American Barbecue Company?
Yeah, we are.
And as you said previously, you guys are distributors and resellers of Cook Shack and the Fast Eddie Cookers and Traeger.
Yep. That's right, yeah.
That kind of all, at least the Fast Eddie and the Traeger, kind of follow hand in hand because of the similar automated auger system.
It's been one of those things that over here, American barbecue, the Cook Shack style barbecue, has really been about smoking food. And that's how the Brits see it. They're smokers. They're not barbecues to cook food. And we don't have many barbecue cooking restaurants over here. There's one in London, Bodine's, which I'm not quite sure. He's an ex-Kansas City guy. He runs about three restaurants now. He's done quite well. And then we've got another guy. He's got a small barbecue takeaway.
He calls it the American Barbecue Cook Shack.
And he comes from Texas. He's Greek originally. He comes from Texas, and he's doing very well. He's got a Fast Eddie, and he's got a Cook Shack. And he turns a lot of food out at his restaurant at lunchtime and does very, very well. He's a damn good customer. So it's beginning to break through that there's a different market, a different style of food. I mean, I've seen on various web forums Americans complaining about the rubbish American barbecue over in the UK. And we always say, well, A, you haven't tried ours, and B, if you all go to London, it's a bit like going to New York and saying you've been to America. That's not Britain, you know? London is not Britain. So this year we've actually sold more machines. We haven't been to a show yet, and we sold more machines up to now in the year than we've ever sold. So it's just strange. It just takes a while for people to get to this idea of a new style of food.
Could you start your own type of organization out there following the KCBS rules?
Yes, we could. That's one of the things we were considering, and then I, you know, became unwell last year, so we just didn't have a chance. It's really a matter of effort and number of people to get that sort of thing going. And then if we're going to bring judges over, you've got nobody qualified over here. If you're going to bring judges over, you've got to pay, you know, to bring the judges over and get them, you know, housed and whatever. So we started it in a small way. We have once a year we have an open day for our little company, and we invite people down. Anyone who's either bought a machine or knows or even thinking about buying a machine, we cook food for them, lay on the odd drop of beer or whatever, and people are becoming interested. So the time is becoming right, and I think American barbecue has got a long way to go internationally. The food's great. I think it just has to be put across, and people have to be educated. It's not the way they're used to eating. American barbecue to most Brits would be burgers. And that's what they think that Americans would eat at the barbecue. And they're always shocked when you say, well, most Americans would actually go out and buy a joint and barbecue it. Most Brits have never barbecued a joint in their lives.
We've got over 100 people out there, 100 Traegers or Fast Eddies out there on the patch in the UK now. And it's gradually spreading. And the people who have taken to American barbecue concept absolutely adore it and wouldn't go back to the old way of cooking.
If you look into a crystal ball, where do you see it in 5 or 10 years from now?
Big business.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to make some good dough out of it. We're probably going to be away from it by then, but it definitely has got a ways to go in the UK. It's a great sad thing that it wasn't done here 10, 15 years ago, when there were a lot of American forces over here at the time, you know, based in the UK, as part of NATO. And that would have been a good time to have sold that concept and also had a great following. It needs some cash behind it. We need to get people away from the idea that all barbecues are basically grills. I mean, Weber does extremely well over here. Webers are very, very popular. Until five years ago, no one even thought of cooking on a Weber with the lid on top, you know, the ordinary kettle barbecue.
Really?
Because no one understood that. They just
the lid was to keep it dry when it was raining when they put it away. They didn't cook with the lid on.
It's also a way of choking out the fire that's burning the meat.
Yeah, you got it.
And even now, people say to me, well, what happens if I leave the lid open while I'm cooking? And the only way I can get it across to English guys is, look, guys, I come to your place for a barbecue. I love it. I can chat your wife up. I can drink your beer. And you're sat there with your eyes streaming while you've got smoke in them and you're flicking bits of meat about. You know, come around to my place. My barbecue lid's closed. You chat my wife up. I'll punch you on the nose, you know.
Right.
And I'm drinking my own beer, you know. Right. Well, you get the message immediately. Hey, Rick, you've got a point there, you know. And another nice thing is that when you've got a good smoker going, you can just close the lid, take the fire down a bit, and that food can sit there for some while above the danger zone, just sitting in smoke. Keeps it nice and sterile. The food comes out beautiful. It doesn't dry out.
And the beautiful thing about people coming to us for a barbecue is we don't have to give them directions. They follow their noses.
For people that are in the UK right now that are listening to this podcast, because I'm sure they're going to.
Well, they will.
And they want the website to either get their hands on a Fast Eddie or a Cook Shack or a Traeger. How can they find you guys?
Our web address is www.americanbbq.co.uk.
And any phone calls or any emails, just get on there and we'll come back to you straight away.
Got all our contact info on there.
And a little bit of history about us as well.
Rick and Jackie Waite are the owners of the American Barbecue Company, located in Kent, UK. Also compete under the Mad Cows Barbecue Team. Lady and gentlemen, I certainly appreciate you joining me this afternoon, or in your case, evening, talking to me about barbecue over there in the UK. If there's anything that ever comes up here in the future that you would like to get up and talk about, you're certainly more than welcome to use my platform to do so, and good luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you very much.
And any of those down in Huntsville, we look forward to seeing you guys.
And just one final thing, because it does tend to upset people every now and again. Mad Cow's Barbecue name actually came from me, because I am the only mad cow on the farm. So anyone who thinks it's anything to do with any nasty diseases, please forget it.
It's been
my nickname for about 25 years.
Thanks for taking the time out, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was some great conversation right there, Rick and Jackie. You guys should consider getting your own talk show. The banter back and forth just between you two is classic. Anyway, if you're in Europe and you're interested in learning more about the Fast Eddie line of cookers, the Cook Shack or the Traeger, you can contact them on the web at www.americanbbq.co.uk, or in other words, americanbbq.co.uk. You can also telephone them at 08452-301-963. Or you can send them an email at info@americanbbq.co.uk. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to become a member on the Barbecue Central Forum, please visit the website at www.thebbqcentral.com and click on the Barbecue Forum to get started. We'd love to have you join the fun and camaraderie. Stay tuned for the D-Dogs Rub Spot on the Backside Jones. For Barbecue Central, this is your program host, Greg Rempe, saying so long, everybody.
D-Dog's award-winning barbecue rubs put the perfect balance of spicy and sweet on your ribs, chicken, all beef and pork, and more. Whether it's slow-cooked barbecue, or grilled steaks and burgers, or soups, vegetables, or anything else from your kitchen, D-Dog's award-winning rubs make good food great. Four flavors: original, maple, apple, and peach, each made from the freshest all-natural ingredients. Order yours today at www.ddogsbbq.com. That's DDOGSBBQ.com. D-Dogs Barbecue Rubs. It's better than ketchup.